Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Your thoughts as we move along today. Yes, Major League Baseball on a little bit of a hiatus since the All-Star break, but it does come back tonight, which is one game, and that is the Astros and the Texas Rangers. And then Friday, everybody gets back to work as we close out the second half of the season and get moving on towards all those tough moments where you have to make decisions on how you're going to move into the going into the postseason or maybe just kind of playing out your string. Will Tim Tebow get called up? That's kind of a fun conversation. But you know what? I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the races in like the NL Central. Where only 4.5 games differentiate the five teams. Can the Yankees increase their lead, et cetera, et cetera. But Major League Baseball, the Atlantic League, the minor league of the Atlantic League, has a new proposal where you can steal first base. They're trying to make this rule where that on any pitch that is dropped by the catcher becomes a live ball. And you could steal first base at any point in the count. So an 0-1 pitch, for example, gets behind and goes out to the backstop, you can run to first base. And you can run to second if you want to, if you're as fast as like Billy Hamilton. You could steal second, too, if you want to, at any point in the count. Now, I don't know how many guys at the major league level would take advantage of it. I mean, you know, the ball goes back to the backstop. You don't have all that much time to run 90 feet to first base. And it is a big risk because once you commit, you can't go back. It's not like you can go, oh, I'll go back home. You know, you got to commit to stealing at that to first base. But they're going to try it in the Atlantic League to see if it works. But it goes to show you the conversation that we were having yesterday, which was, does Major League Baseball have to start tweaking some things to appeal to a generation that they're losing maybe slowly, but also maybe rapidly, right? I mean, in terms of how long games are, in terms of the laid-back nature of the sport, we don't have a laid-back culture anymore. But I argued this yesterday, that I do think baseball can be appealing to the gotta have things now generation who may at some point in their life realize, wait, I don't want it now. I want to relax. I want something leisurely, and I want to get out of this rat race where everything has to be immediate and I have to stay connected all the time. And baseball can be an answer to that, and it could see a rise in popularity of people who are realizing maybe things are too fast.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is Throwback Thursday in the year 1985. Nolan Ryan on this stage struck out Danny Heap. That was his 4,000th strikeout. He would go on to play 8 more years in the majors, 5,700 strikeouts. And in honor of that, we give you Canadian Bryan Adams. Throwback Thursday. Great.
He didn't play for any Canadian teams, did he?
No, did he? He's great though. Bryan Adams was pretty cool in the 80s, I gotta admit. I know some people may roll your eyes. I get it. I was a big Bryan Adams fan
as a young kid.
He had the cool hair and he had good videos. And he did some songs for there was a Robin Hood movie with Kevin Costner. And he did a song for that too. So
is Bryan Adams those kind of guys that like America adopts as a...
Yeah, kind of, right?
Like,
yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
That's right. Like Ryan Reynolds and Jim Carrey and all the good Canadians that come down and have success here. Bryan Adams, yeah. 1985. So... That's good for Throwback Thursday.
So you knew that at the top of your head. I didn't know you were a Bryan Adams fan.
I was a Bryan Adams fan. I had the cassette, okay? Which, by the way, that reminds me. During the All-Star promos, they had all these All-Stars. They had these mixtapes that these athletes had, like they had labeled them, and they were all taking these big boom boxes and they were putting their mixtape in and pushing play. None of those guys have ever done that in the history of their life. Ever. Have ever put a cassette tape in a cassette player and pressed play. I am shocked they even knew how to do it. I'm sure somebody had to show them, actually it goes in this way, and then here's the button you press.
Yeah, man.
And if you want to record a song, you have to press these two at the same time.
Never seen a cassette tape. Cassette player.
Yeah, give me a break. Cassettes were cool because they were portable, but like a record, like when you get a record, you can see the grooves of the record where each song is. So if you want the third song in on a record, you put your needle, you know, on the third kind of groove that indicates where the song is. You're like, all right, I want to hear that song. So you put your needle on that one. So that was, you know,
that's cool.
That was vinyl, but cassettes didn't have that. Like cassettes, you had to figure it out. So you would have a number, like let's say the fourth song on a guy's album was the hit, right? That was the radio hit. And that was the one you wanted to play over and over again. You had to fast forward your cassette to a point on the cassette where you felt like, okay, this is about where it should be. And then you press play. And then it would be the song again. You'd press fast forward. That would be the song again. And then you'd finally hear the song and then you'd rewind until you got the dead space. And then you would play it. And you had to do that all the time. It stunk. It's terrible. And I know you've probably heard, we used to press play and record and pause, and then when the DJ would shut up, we'd finally hit unpause to tape the songs off the radio. So you'd get some wild DJ like on some radio station like The Q, you know, and he'd be like, hey, it's a block of Def Leppard on The Q, blah, 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 Def Leppard will be touring, and he'll be at the arena coming up on August 26th. Meanwhile, the song is playing in the background, and you're just like, shut up, I gotta hit the good thing before he gets back, quiet. And then he would shut up, and you'd finally hit it, and then Def Leppard would be on.
So did they used to play cassettes in radio stations? Or
no, they would
vinyl?
Play... They either play vinyl or they would have what they called carts, which was just like an 8-track cart, and the song would be on the cart, and then they would put it in and they would start it.
Yeah, I was. And then of course, they did that before.
Yeah, then they got digital. Mostly it was vinyl back in the old days. It was vinyl. Then the songs were individually put on carts, and then they would stack. You would stack a cart rack, and you'd put all your music in there, so you could blend from one song to the other. And you know, then you would take the cart out that was done, and you'd put a new cart in, and that would be on number one, and you'd go back to number one, and you'd hit that, and then you'd go into two, and you would just do that all day long.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how sports radio stations like played music back then. It was just,
yeah, on carts.
A lot of poor producers, man. There was a lot of stuff to do there before you even start the segment.
Not to get into inside radio, to you know, to coin a phrase, but I used to edit tape. I used to edit audio with a razor blade and a crayon.
What?
I used to take a big reel-to-reel, and I used to make a mark with my crayon of what I wanted to edit out, and then I would go to what the other part that I wanted to take out, and I'd make another crayon mark, and then I would take the tape, and I'd take a razor blade, slice it at the crayon marks, and then I would put it together and use splice tape and put the tape in together, and then it would make my edit.
How long did that take?
A long time, Gio. A long time. We used to be at the stations all night putting together features for basketball and football and all that stuff. We used to order pizza. We used to have the guys that we used to order pizza just sit in the production room, bloop, 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 making a mess of things.
Well, at least you didn't have cell phones to distract you and all that.
You didn't have anything to distract us. That's what we used to do. We used to sit there all night long. It was some of the best times of my life, was editing tape at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That is crazy, man.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
It is nuts. That's the way it was, man. That's how it was. So it's how long I've been doing this. All right, so back to the ESPY Awards last night, an award show that, you know, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I do understand its level of importance. And you know what? It's really, to be honest with you, I may not like it. It may not be one of my favorite things, but in terms of the sports world, it's the only thing we have to recognize athletes and moments in the thing we love, right? My sister she loves movies. She absolutely loves movies. She goes to a million of them, which I just don't know how she finds the time. She has a full-time job, and she goes to every movie that comes out, every one of them, and watches a ton of event shows on TV, and she writes about them and things like that. But the Academy Awards and like the Emmy Awards are her big things, because in her world, in the entertainment world, that's the thing that is kind of the benchmark of the excellence of the year. These shows won Emmy Awards. These shows won Best Actor. You know, these people won Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Movie, Best Director. And those become the benchmarks of the year that was in movies or television. You know, we have the ESPYs, and where it's a big self-promotional thing for ESPN, and yeah, it is. It's the only one we have where we say, hey, we're taking the entire year in sports and we're going to recognize the best of the best of the best. So let's take all the champions and determine who's the best champion, right? Of all the ones that won trophies, who has the best one? And like, for example, best upset was a category last night. And in college football, it was Old Dominion defeating Virginia Tech, U.S. Open, Naomi Osaka defeating Serena Williams, the NHL, the Columbus Blue Jackets sweeping Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs, and in boxing, Andy Ruiz defeats Anthony Joshua. Andy Ruiz defeating Anthony Joshua was the biggest upset. And remember when that happened, how much we went, yeah, this is being seen as one of the biggest upsets in sports. And it certainly was rewarded for that. So again, it takes a show like this to say, hey, let's really recognize what this was. When we can all debate, you know, which athlete is the best, which team is the best, let's put this, let's give it our stamp and let's give it a trophy and let's make it a show and let's go back and remember some of the best things that happened in sports. There was a viral moment during the last year where a UCLA gymnast scored a perfect 10 in a floor exercise routine that got like millions and millions and millions of views. She was recognized for that. Caitlin Ohashi was recognized for that. She also ended up getting best play of the year. And now I thought this was kind of one of those sleeper wins for this young gymnast. She was going up against Miami's Miracle Downs against the Patriots, Kawhi Leonard's buzzer beater that ended Philly's season, and Derrick Henry of the Titans, his 99-yard touchdown return. I thought Kawhi Leonard's buzzer beater that ended Philly's season would have won this award, and I would have put money down on it. I absolutely would have been convinced it would have been Kawhi Leonard. That was as an amazing of a buzzer beater because of the way the ball just sort of hung there and bounced and bounced and bounced. He goes into the corner and launches it up. Now, you could make the argument because it's a game 7 buzzer beater that if he had missed, the game would have gone into overtime. So there wasn't a lot on the line per se. I mean, look, they could have won in overtime too. It wasn't like, if I make this, we win. If I miss this, Philly moves on. It was, I'm going to shoot it up, and if it goes in, we win. And if we don't, well, we got 5 minutes to figure out at home how to beat a tired Philadelphia team.
What I wonder is, like, who voted for this? Because there was a poll that ESPN ran that I voted on the best play, and I voted for Kawhi Leonard's buzzer beater. And so there's 65% of other people.
Yeah, that's a little suspect to me. I mean, I appreciate this young lady's perfect 10 in floor exercise, and I think it was awesome. But that is really
two ESPYs in one night.
That's two ESPYs. I mean, that's two moments. That was worth two moments in the sun. No, it wasn't. It was a fantastic performance, and it was great. But best viral sports moment? Yes, I will be more than happy to award her that. But best play? You got to be kidding me. How can it be? Look, you know why it shouldn't have been best play? It shouldn't have been best play because we only watched it because other people went, hey, this is really cool. Check this out. It wasn't because we were invested in that as sports fans. Because we weren't like watching it because we wanted to see, can UCLA win this gymnastics meet? Her performance was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. But we all gravitated towards Kawhi's buzzer beater. And even Derrick Henry's, I think it was a Thursday night game, he pulled that off. That was fantastic. And the Dolphins beating the Patriots late in the season, that was kind of cool too. It kind of shook up a little bit of the AFC conversation for a brief period of time. But for her to get two ESPYs for that floor routine, that's a little weird.
It wasn't a game 7 though. None of those NFL games were a game 7.
It was a game
on the line.
It was a game 7 buzzer beater, which we hadn't seen in the NBA ever.
Made Joel Embiid cry.
Right.
Come on.
When you do a walk off in a game 7, that's awesome. I mean, my God, all of Michael Jordan's buzzer beaters never happened in a game 7, right? I mean, that's great.
Well, he never let it get to
game
7.
I think he had one in game 5 that was a deciding game, but he never let it get to game 7. Good point, Gio. Good point. It's like, hey, game 7s, what are those? You're playing no game 7.
He didn't like the pressure.
That's crazy.
Obviously, he didn't like the pressure. Like, I do not want any of this pressure. I'm just going to take care of it in 6 games.
Yeah, we're not going to no game 7. You out of your mind? Forget that. So, but think about the ramifications of it too. Like Kawhi's buzzer beater, again, it would have sent the game into overtime if he missed, so, you know, whatever. But it also would have given Philly a chance to win that game, too. How much was on the line for the Raptors, Masai Ujiri, all of the things we talked about, you know, how they, you know, got rid of the coach, brought in a new coach, traded DeMar DeRozan, picked up Kawhi Leonard, knowing it could be just for 1 year, and it's championship or bust, and we're not going to do the same things we did before. If he had missed and they had lost in overtime, it would have been like the same thing they had done before, right? I mean, it would have been pretty much the same scenario. And all of this paid off in a championship. It may not have happened had he missed. I mean, we'll never know how that overtime would have went down. So again, no offense to Caitlin. Fantastic. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. Fantastic floor exercise. She was great. But well, let's be honest here. I don't think it was too ESPY worthy. I mean, that's a little much. They did have a best esports moment. And that was O'Leary's return to the NBA 2K League after the Jacksonville shooting, which I thought was pretty cool. But that's going to be a big category. You may laugh at this now in terms of esports, but that's big. I did my fair share of mocking, and I ain't mocking anymore.
You put in stock on esports?
Yeah, I am. I'm telling you, because when I heard about, my son tells me about this stuff, how like these esports championships are drawing like, you know, 20,000 people at these arenas, and I'm watching them on video, and I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, well, Twitch is a big thing right now, and it's just pretty much all gamers.
It's crazy. So that's going to be a very, very big category. So, and they've completely jumped on it. All right, coming up, the British Open next week at Royal Portrush in Ireland. You know who's not attending? Oh, I'll tell you why and who next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM Throwback Thursday, as we celebrate Nolan Ryan's 4,000 strikeout in 1985, and that's the music you're hearing. Is this Howard Jones?
Yes, it is. You got it all them right so far, man.
I'm telling
that's
you,
impressive.
Man.
I feel like there's goodness one gracious. That might get you.
Yeah, well, one day you'll get. One day, maybe. I may not know the name of the song, but I the artists just sound familiar. All right, the British Open next week, Royal Portrush, is going to be where it's at in Ireland. And John Daly is not going to be in attendance. Now, John Daly gets to be in attendance because he won the British Open back in 1995. And because of that, you get like an exemption until you're like, 60, 65 years old, I think. Before we get to the reason, let me tell you about O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So if you followed John Daly's season so far, you remember back in May at Bethpage, he was hurting and hurting bad, needed a golf cart to get around. He was allowed a cart exemption to compete. A lot of golfers didn't like that. So when you go over to the British Open, you're subject to the governing body of the Royal and Ancient Golf in St. Andrews. And they said, John, you will not be driving a golf cart at the British Open. And so he can't, which is kind of too bad, because one of the things that John Daly is kind of known for at the British Open, now that he's older and is not competitive, is that every year they gather the British Open champions for a lovely picture outside maybe the clubhouse or an iconic hole or something like that. And everyone wears a shirt, tie, slacks, trousers, makes themselves look nice. And John Daly wears like those flashy pants and a jacket. And he definitely stands out in the crowd. And he's done this every year. Now, maybe he'll go over to be a participant in those type of things, but I kind of doubt it. There really isn't any reason, if you're not going to go play, to go be, you'll be a part of that. But maybe he will. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe his, you know, the people that still sponsor him may say, you know, you know, go out there and do the sponsorship stuff because you're still John Daly, British Open champion. John Daly is one of my favorite golfers because of his background and just his story. I think he has a very interesting story. I don't want to say it's awesome because he's dealt with addiction. He's dealt with a lot of bad marriages. He's dealt with a lot of low moments. But I think his story is interesting because he's had low moments. And I think that always tells a better story, especially when you are a beloved figure like John Daly is. He is a well-respected figure in golf as well as outside of it. John Daly will still sell you tickets. you know, if he, when he's healthy and he can play and he can be part of your tournament, whether it's a senior tour or maybe even a PGA tour, he'll still sell you tickets. He's just got that personality. He's an everyman, and in golf, it's hard to find an everyman, sort of, you know, aspect to it. But when he won the British Open in 95, he was dealing with withdrawals from the addiction. He talked about all the time about how he was playing at St. Andrews, and he would fight some of the urges that would occur to him, would come to him by eating chocolate chip muffins. He said they sold these chocolate chip muffins on the golf course, and he would get a bunch and he would eat them because it helped some of the, you know, anxiety that he was feeling because he was dealing with some of his addiction problems. But he ended up winning that tournament, which if you're going to win the British Open, there's a lot of great venues to win the British Open at, but win it at St. Andrews, and it's something else. It's really something else. And he did it there. Constantino Rocca was the guy he beat in the playoff, and I'll never forget it because I remember watching this, and Rocca got to the 18th hole and he needed a birdie to get into the playoff with John Daly. And 18th hole at St. Andrews is relatively short, but it's tricky. They have a thing called the Valley of Sin. And so he hit the ball and then there's a massive slope on the green. It's very, very hilly there. And Rocca hit his shot on the green, but it came back. No, he needed a par. I apologize. He needed a par. And it came back, and he made a chip at the ball, and the chip came back to him. Like he basically wasted a shot. And then he drained the putt to get into the playoff. So Daly thought he pretty much was going to win it because it was like a 60-foot putt, and Rocca nailed it, and Daly ends up winning the Claret Jug in the playoff. But Rocca had, you know, this really exciting moment. But it validated Daly's career. It's amazing in golf what two majors will do to you. It really is. It's amazing. Because there's a whole list of people that have won one major. There's a whole list of them that we've never hear from again. And sometimes it's weird. They'll show up at like web.com tournaments, like they lost their tour card or something like that. And you're like, wow, didn't that guy win the PGA like in 91? But Daly won the PGA in 91, and he was a last minute addition to the field at Crooked Stick, and he won the tournament. He was using Nick Price's caddy, and it was an awesome event because Daly had this big coming out party, right? And everybody wanted a piece of him right after that because he had something different. Remember, this is pre-Tiger. This is pre-Phil. Phil was still in college at the time that Daly won this. And he had something different. He had something unique. He was beer drinking. He was big. He was a country boy and he could hit it a country mile. And that was so relatable. And the Scott Simpsons of the world, and, you know, Payne Stewart wore knickers, and they were not as relatable. And Daly comes along and he's like, hey, where's this golf tournament at? I gotta show up for my tee time. Where's that? And they're like, here, it's over here. And he's like, all right, give me a driver. And then guys were just going crazy all week for Daly. But like I said before, the list is long of guys who just won one major. And all these pieces, people getting a piece of Daly, and they were getting a hold of him. And all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking, oh, is he going to win again? Ever? And then he wins the British Open, and he wins it at St. Andrews, and all of a sudden you're saying, okay, now we're dealing with a two-time major champion, and that's a different label. That is a different person, right? It's not just some guy getting lucky at a golf tournament, having the week of his life, and then falling away and going back to where he came from. Daly, 4 years later, was a two-time major championship, and all of a sudden now he is a world golfer. And Tiger Woods respects him, and Phil respects him, and all these guys that have come through, they love the way he has a great short game, and he can putt. When he's on putting, there's really, you know, it's hard to find somebody better. He had soft hands for a big guy in terms of getting that ball to float and flutter and stop and everything that you need to do with a short game. He had phenomenal talent, phenomenal skill, but he had his share of demons, a lot of them. And I like it when John Daly goes to the British Open, even if he doesn't play in it, even if he struggles with his game. I like it when he's there. It's too bad that the health issues and a spider bite has to make him withdraw. And he needs a golf cart, man. We talked about it at the PGA. He really is hurting. He's hurting bad. He's still trying to play, but man, he's in a lot of pain. So best of luck, John. Hope you make it next year to the British Open out there, because the British Open ain't the same without you. It is SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It is the good, the bad, the dumb without Ron Culver. I feel like we're going rogue, Gio. I feel like we're going rogue.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking his segments now.
All right, so let's start. Let's start. What is the good for the day?
It's my supervisor. Maybe that's the dumb.
Yeah.
Dealing his stuff.
Right. All right, so what's the good today?
So the good, a lot of airlines don't care about your problems. You tweet at them and they, like, you lost your package and stuff like that, and they just, like, ignore it. But Delta is different. Drew Gooden, at Drew is Gooden, tweeted out, "Excuse me, Delta, but this is outrageous. I just got sucked through the toilet hole in one of your aircrafts, and I am now hurtling through the sky. Can I get my money back? This never happens on Southwest."
Oh, obviously, that's well done. Well done. So he's pretending he's tweeting from just floating in the air, being sucked out of the toilet at a Delta airline.
Absolutely. Obviously, it's a troll.
Right. What did Delta do?
Delta so caringly tweets back, "Hello, Drew. I'm sorry to learn of this. Can you provide more detail to what occurred?"
He's very like, yeah.
Well,
okay.
I'm hurling through the air right now.
Yeah, I'm hurling through the air. I can't possibly make this.
Not a lot of airlines would do that.
A lot of airlines would have ignored it, not actually reach out to somebody hurtling through the air after getting sucked out of a toilet.
Absolutely. It's,
well done, Delta.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for Delta. I mean, customer service has to be top notch.
Well, when you're a social media person for these companies, you're probably going through 1,000 a day of people that are just sending you troll tweets and goof stuff. You're like, get rid of this. I need to sift through and find the real ones that I've got to really answer and the real ones I really got to take care of. But it's nice that somebody went, I got some time. You know what? All right. Glad you got sucked. It's too bad you got sucked out of the toilet. Yeah. Tell me more.
Please. How can I help? Yeah. Have you ever tweeted out a complaint about airlines? Are you a big complainer?
I have not. I don't fly as much as I used to. So I don't. But I don't know. Here's the way I am. Okay. Whether it's going to a restaurant or whether it's flying or whatever, is I complain bitterly and then I get over it and I don't do anything about it when I get home.
That's right? It, right?
Like, yeah. I get angry at something. Like, when I'm the only time I ever called a restaurant once, where my wife and I and my kids went to this restaurant and the server was training a gal and we didn't get like some food, right? Which is no big deal. Like, we didn't get a plate. Like, my daughter didn't get her dinner or something, which is no big deal. Just, you know, go make it. But when the waiter got to the table, he blatantly blamed the trainee for it. Instead of taking responsibility himself, because he was training her, he said, "Yeah, my trainee, she didn't put it in." And I was so livid at that, I did call afterwards and said, "You know what? I don't care. My daughter ate some of my wife's meal, and then we just waited patiently for the meal to come. It didn't take long. It was like chicken fingers and fries." I said, "But the way he threw her under the bus like that in front of us, I just didn't appreciate that. I did not like that at all."
Coming from the restaurant service and as a trainer, you always take the blame just because it's your responsibility in
the first place.
Yeah.
So it's the only time I did that. But I've been on plenty of flights where I've said, "Oh, when I get home," and then I get home and I don't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so bad for those people in the counter, because actually my flight coming back from my trip, I got stuck in Minnesota, and it was me and another guy. So they told me, "Okay, the door's locked, right?"
Yeah.
I was like, well, what can you do? I guess I'm stuck here for the day, because I had to wait 24 hours for the next flight. oh, the guy next to me started cussing out the person. I was just like, ooh, oh, it's not a good look.
No,
it's not
it isn't a good look
whenever you're screaming at people.
Well, good for Delta. So what is the bad of the day then?
The bad is a common theme for today. The ESPYs. Have to call them out.
Okay, call the ESPYs out.
Yes. So they had a, I guess this, they were honoring recent retirees. Like they honor Gronk.
Yep,
D-Wade,
that's right.
Lindsey Vonn. There's a certain person they forgot about of all those three people.
Oh, okay. Who?
Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh my God! They really didn't do anything for Dirk.
They didn't do anything for Dirk after 21 years of entertaining people.
They totally forgot about Dirk.
Yes. So the ESPYs forgot about Dirk.
Wait a minute. How can you do? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How could you do Dwayne Wade and not remember that on the night that they both played? Remember, they both played their like final games at home, and it was kind of a big deal. And it was they were both. I don't know. They both did some stuff that was cool.
Yeah.
How
absolutely.
Could you? How could you not remember that? Come on.
Exactly. That,
there is no way they forgot about Dirk. There is no way. There's something up with that. There's no way they went, oops. Listen, I always say this to people when you know when they do the in memoriam at the Academy Awards, and they always miss one.
Yeah.
They're like, oh shoot, we forgot about that like B actress from the 1940s. She died at like 97. Right? I go, man, I that's a hard job. You got to try to remember everyone that died. You got to really you got to go through everything with a fine tooth comb when you put together something like that. But when you're honoring retirees, we're not talking about like some, you know, 8-year journeyman in the NBA that bounced around from team to team and averaged, you know, 6 points a game.
Yeah, it's not Darren Collison or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
We're talking Dirk. I mean, how in the world do you ignore that? That's terrible.
That is horrible, man.
They owe him an apology, man.
Absolutely. Even if he wasn't there, like, yes, a little, at least give him like a minute of a video or something.
But here I am going on a rant, but what if there's some hidden stuff behind the scenes we don't know about?
So that's my theory,
right?
That I said on with Eitan on the second level, that Woj probably told him, cut the Dirk scene. I heard something. I heard Dirk is not sold on retirement yet.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah,
that's right.
Maybe
a Woj bomb will drop sometime.
That's
during the week
right.
That Dirk is coming back for
that's
a
good
40th year.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to table my rant. I'm going to keep it because it was absolutely a travesty that you don't honor Dirk at a retirement moment on the ESPYs, a retirement athlete moment on the ESPYs. But I'm going to table that until I get more information as to why that may have actually occurred. Because let's be honest, there's no way ESPN just went, oh, really, Dirk? We totally forgot Dirk. No chance.
I mean,
there's no chance.
It's probably like a 60% chance. This is actually more of a chance that they forgot Dirk than actually Gronk staying retiring.
Okay. But, you know, like if Tom Cruise dies and they do a memoriam and they forget Tom Cruise, you'd scream and holler, right?
Absolutely.
Like if Tom Cruise is 80 and still doing his own stunts and like, you know, oh, remember Tom Cruise has been a movie star for 60 years. If they forgot him, you'd lose your mind. Dirk is like one of the premier retirement moments in sports this past year. You can't just throw that away.
I'm telling you, they
totally
they
forget.
They forgot about him, man.
All right.
It's messed up. It's messed up.
That might have been a good candidate for the dumb, but I like the way you put it in the bad. So what is the dumb?
The dumb is criminals, man. Sometimes they're not the smartest people, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're brilliant in their schemes to steal money.
Exactly. They are, but not this guy.
No. Nope.
We go to Missouri, where a man trying to elude police ended up being betrayed, but nothing but their backside. So let me explain.
Explain this.
So, Liberty Police Department officers over the weekend were searching Bailey for a man wanted on a warrant charging possession of a controlled substance. The suspect might have gotten away if he hadn't let out a huge fart right at the wrong time.
Oh, no.
Allowing officers to sniff out where he was hiding.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He's hiding. He passes gas. The police go... Let's follow the scent and found him.
Well, I think they heard the big.
Oh, they heard it.
Yes.
And said, okay.
Wait a minute. But bushes don't fart.
Yeah. Come on now. That's funny. That is really funny. Can you imagine getting caught for that reason? Because you couldn't control? That's not good.
It's the worst timing ever. So he obviously he went to jail.
Yeah.
They mercifully didn't release the man's identity.
Yeah, no kidding. Because listen, when you get caught, you got to tell a story, right? Don't you? How did you get caught? You're like,
yeah.
Oh, I chased him. I was chased all through the city, and it was only because of this certain situation. You don't say, oh, man, I passed gas and they caught me. Like that, you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, they will make fun of you in the prison yard for sure.
Do that. Yeah. Yeah.
So that for all criminals that are listening right now. Make sure not to eat beans, anything gassy.
Yeah, watch what you eat.
Yeah, before you start running away from the police.
Or take some Beano or any of those other over-the-counter products that help alleviate that stress.
Exactly. Come on, man.
Terrible, man.
You can't get caught by farting.
Oh, no, you can't do that at all. God, that is dumb. Those are good. Well done. Well done.
Filling in
for Ron Culver. Good, the bad, the dumb. All right, it is Tony D. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. 1985 is the year. Nolan Ryan's 4,000 strikeout on Throwback Thursday. This one you caught me, Gio. I don't know who does this.
Really? Finally?
I don't know who does
this one. Mary Jane Girls. In my house.
In my house?
I've heard this in a commercial before.
You did?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but I've heard this song before.
Gosh. We're talking about 34 years ago this year, and now they're used as ads. Crazy. But just, we choose Throwback Thursday. We like to go back in time on this date in history. It's kind of a fun thing that we do. But I think of the ones that we've done. We've done some awesome ones. I mean, just some really iconic moments in sports. I got to say, the Nolan Ryan 4,000 strikeout is pretty cool. Just to realize and just take a step back and to really see and really think about his career. Because sometimes we do take things for granted until you really take a look at it, right? We're not going to do that with like Tom Brady, for example, because I think as Brady continues to build a legacy with the Patriots and winning Super Bowls and winning divisional titles and going to Super Bowls, we are always saying how remarkable it is that he is doing what he's doing at his age. And we did that with Ryan. I mean, as Ryan was getting older, like when he threw his seventh no-hitter, it was like, my God, how is this guy doing it at his age? But when you step back and you realize all of the things he's accomplished in the longevity, it really is eye-opening. And maybe down the road, somebody who may be catching, I was a little kid for most of Ryan's career. It wasn't until much later that I was like, oh, I'm really, really appreciating what this guy is doing. But and that might be the case with some young person today, right? Some young 5-year-old today who will one day look at someone like Tom Brady, for example, and go, my God, how mind-boggling is that he won a Super Bowl at 24 years old, then he won another one at 41 years old, and he wasn't done until he was 43, 44, 45 years old. Sometimes you look at something and you see it for what it is. Sometimes you take a step back and you realize how amazing it is. And I think with Nolan Ryan, that is cool to just go over the play, the things he's done and the accomplishments he's had. Like I said, 4,000 strikeouts in a career. And in 1985, if he had retired after that season, he would have said, yeah, it's a great, it's close to 20 years, started in 66. It's 85, call it quits. Pitched in the 69 World Series. That felt like a million years ago, right? All of that pitched in all through the 70s and midway through the 80s. Good career. But he played 8 years after that, continued to play 8 years after that. So on this date, he struck out Danny Heap for the 4,000th strikeout. So that's why we are honoring him for Throwback Thursday. 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio. So
I don't think there's anybody else that you would look at that other than Tom Brady and Nolan Ryan that you look back and like, wow, I can't believe he did all this.
Yeah, there are athletes who have lasted, but to be excellent in your latter part of your years, right? That's what's really, really kicks it in, right? The fact that Ryan, for example, you know, had a no-hitter 2 years before he retired in 93. He had one in 91. I mean, it's amazing.
Because usually people diminish your records as,
exactly,
you get old, as time goes by, like, yeah, Jordan.
Yep, you can stay in sports long. You can have a long career. It's what you do in the latter part of your career that really is eye opening, and that's why when we were at the Super Bowl, you know, I kept reminding people, listen, guys, this guy, this quarterback, you may have been looking at him and saying, oh, I hate Tom Brady, I hate the Patriots, but is that clouding what is really going on with this guy in terms of what he's been able to do at that position at his age and all of the things that you have to do at that position to be successful? And the fact that he's doing it at 41 years old, here he is 17 years between Super Bowls, that is just unheard of in this league. And yet we can be blinded because he's affecting us, most of us, in a negative way. Because of his success, my team isn't having success. And we tend to get blinded by that. But if you were able to remove yourself out of it and just say, you know what? I may hate the Patriots for who they are. I may hate the Patriots for winning. I may hate Belichick and Brady. And I may just hate the fact that Boston wins all the championships. But if you wipe that and take a step back and look at this objectively, you will see a literal football miracle that is going on with one player, because this really doesn't happen. And it's not really built. The league isn't built for it to happen. You're not supposed to be good at 41 years old in the NFL, for crying out loud. You're supposed to be like Peyton Manning, trying to figure out, all right, I'm done. I am absolutely done. I can't throw this thing anymore. I am finished. And I'm going to walk away because my body has said it's over. And Brady's like, nah, my body is still kicking in, and I'm running faster than ever, and I'm still going to play this until everybody and my body tells me to stop, and who knows when that's going to be. That's Ryan-esque. That's Nolan Ryan-esque on the football level. SB Nation Radio.